The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. If you notice, things are a little different since last time you were here, I'm sure. Christmas season is over, now we're entering into the Epiphany season. And today, especially, we're celebrating the baptism of our Lord, remembering that day when he came to the Jordan and was baptized by John. And so that's a great day because for us, bringing in something maybe a little unfamiliar to all, a rite of baptismal remembrance. And I think it's just a great way to emphasize and just remember our own baptisms, because many of us were probably baptized when we were babies and don't actually remember. But this is a great way to recall those things, emphasize some things. So our service will be a little different, but it's not crazy. It'll be good. It'll be awesome. What else do I need to remind you of? I don't think I have anything else, but let's just begin with our first hymn on our first page, and Ezra, will please stand. At the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, You proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling, calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with our introit from Psalm 29. We speak responsibly. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syria like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare, and in his temple all cry glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Please be seated as we sing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We'll continue by singing Thy Strong Word. Please remain standing.
Thank you. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we're remembering our Lord's baptism. And, it made me think about, of course, our whole practice of baptism. And there's this phrase that went around when I grew up, going to a Lutheran elementary and middle school, that meant something pretty special. And it was a phrase maybe you're all familiar with, but it would always be said, but when I was just a little fifth or fourth grader, I didn't quite know what it all meant. And it was this phrase, remember your baptism. And the pastors and teachers would tell us this, that we should remember our baptism when things are rough, or when things or troubles reach us, or when we're not sure what's going on, remember your baptism. And I didn't quite understand what that phrase meant. And so whenever I heard that, I always thought it was remembering my own baptism event. Because I was baptized March 30th, 1997. And so I was like 5 years old when I was baptized. And I could remember the event pretty clearly. It was pretty vivid in my mind, not just because I was up front and in front of all these people and got water splashed in my face, but my whole family was involved with the baptism. We all were baptized on March 30th, 1997. My dad, my mom, my sister, myself. It was kind of a family thing where the pastor baptized all of us. And to make it more memorable, March 30th, 1997 was Easter Sunday. And so me, as a little five-year-old kid, on Easter Sunday, thinks this whole, all the Easter festivities and celebration in a church packed with people, thought all these people were showing up for our baptism. That this whole celebration was for me and for us. So I just remember there were just people I did not even know, never met, and they all showed up for my family's baptism. We're all dressed up a little better than we usually do for church. And we got to sit up front, and the pastor called us forward to be baptized. And one by one, we each kind of bowed our head over the font to get the water on our... Well, I was too short, so my dad had to help. And Pastor Kohlmeyer put the water on my forehead, and it kind of went down my face. But I remember the details of my own baptism pretty vividly. But the phrase, remember your baptism, never really made that much sense to me. Because am I just supposed to remember it was a really cool thing that happened? And that's supposed to help me get through the things that are going on in my life? And of course, I was only a little elementary schooler. But you'd imagine my surprise that when in one of my classes, one of fifth grade or something, the teacher wanted all of us to bring in our baptismal kit stuff, right? You get your certificate, you get a candle, sometimes you get maybe a little medallion with a shell on it. And our teacher wanted us to bring that stuff in to present and tell the story about our baptism. And I was astonished, because when I kept hearing the phrase, remember your baptism, I'd think of my own story and the things that happened. But these people, when they started telling their stories at this Lutheran school, every friend of mine would begin their stories the same way. You know, I don't actually remember my baptism because I was only a baby. And so, but my parents told me that this is what happened. And you can imagine my surprise, and also how ridiculous in my head it felt, where it's like, these people keep telling us to remember our baptism, and these kids can't even remember it themselves because they were too young to even remember it. And so it just never made sense to me what the whole point of remembering your baptism had to do with anything. But of course, you know, I matured, grew up, and I found out that the reason we say the phrase has a different purpose than remembering the experience, remembering the event. When us Christians talk about remembering our baptisms, it's not that we're supposed to remember the things happening or going on around it, but the fact that we were baptized, that you are baptized, claimed, adopted into the Lord's church, and in a very real way, God bent low and by his Spirit, through the water and the word, put his name on your heart. And just like when the Lord formed the clay and breathed into Adam's nostrils to give him life, in the water, the Spirit gives you a new spirit of life. Life in his name. It's in baptism that the promise of forgiveness of sins, the promise of salvation and a new life is given. But remember in your baptism, still sometimes doesn't quite make sense to me. At least the way we say it. Because all those things are applied when we are telling people, remember your baptism, because all those truths and promises that God gave in that moment are still true as you remember it. But the thing that bothers me is it doesn't really seem to answer what's actually going on with what I'm dealing with. It seems to be just more information that I already knew about, and simply just acknowledging those things taking place doesn't seem to help me with the things that are going on. But I think Paul reminds us that to remember your baptism is something more than just acknowledging and being reminded that these events took place. But instead, in a very real way, you're brought deeper into who you truly are. You are brought into a reality and a new identity that's completely different from who you once were. And for a lot of you, it's not so profound because it was when we were younger and we were babies and children. But it is certainly a process that we have always been going through and something that needs to be reminded each and every day. And that's exactly what Paul is getting at in our text. A little bit about Romans 6. Paul is writing to the Christians of Rome that he is writing to them to let them know that they are a different sort of people now. They are identified as something else. Because previously sin ruled and reigned in their life. And it was the good law of God. It was God's commandments, God's order, God's will for their lives that made people aware of the brokenness going on within them. That their whole being was bound to the will of sin, is what we could call it, or bound to the rebellion against God. Because that's really what sin is, and it's a rebellion against what God's purposes are for you, and is focused in on what you want and my needs. But Paul tells them that the gospel itself is the fullness of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and his resurrection that sets them free from God's law and God's grace that covers a multitude of these sins, of these shortcomings. And that's why Paul addresses this in his first point. Because he opens up this section with, are we to continue sinning so that God's grace may abound? And of course, that makes some sense in a way, but Paul says, of course not. For that's so obviously seditious and misses the whole point of being baptized. Because Satan and his devious ways and the world and our own sinful flesh will try to convince you to exploit God's forgiveness and use his gifts for your advantage. And when that is the case, baptism really serves no purpose for you. But the Roman Christians do not do this because the people of Rome are baptized. And Paul calls on them to remember their baptism. For in baptism, God graciously now rules and reigns in their life. And Paul, in the text, he continues to flesh this out as not to cause any confusion. For us, it may be a little difficult. I mean, he is writing in the first century. But in baptism, Paul is saying that Christians are now united in Jesus Christ, united to his life, to his story, his whole ministry on earth, and in that includes his death on the cross. And that so in baptism, God's people are united to his son's death. Death with Christ means that the rule of sin, the rebellion against God, the dominance of sin in your life is destroyed, and God's people are set free from that. Death means you are no longer identified with Satan and his works, or with Satan as your master, but now identified with the true Lord Jesus Christ. But even then, in Romans, Paul pushes it further, for just as Christians die with the Lord in baptism, Christians are also joined to Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Just as Christ experienced the harsh suffering and death on the cross that his people are united in, the resurrection that our Lord experiences is also the resurrection of God's people because they are united with him in baptism. And Paul is not just talking about some future event, which is true, but Paul is talking about this whole death and new life and this resurrection as being a reality that is happening now. The reign of sin in the life of Christians ends, and the gracious, loving Lord Jesus Christ reigns over the life of a Christian. It's the identity of God's people to have the Lord of creation rule in their life. I know that's a lot to take in coming from Romans. And maybe it's all too conceptual and too up here and doesn't really have anything to do with me still when I remember my baptism. But you're included in that baptism. And today, as we remember the Lord's baptism, we too will remember our own baptisms later as we go through this rite of remembrance. Yet, I think when it becomes real for us is that reality seems to lose its effect on us more often than we like to admit. Because even though we acknowledge and know that we have been baptized and we remember the event, whether from our baptismal certificate or our candle that we light on our baptismal birthday, or from the stories we hear from our parents, we actually remember the day, but the reality of the event might start to fade away as we walk away from the font, and the temptations that try to turn us away from following our Lord to rule in our lives once again. Too often you believe that when you are set free in baptism, when you are liberated, that means you're set free from listening to others, that you're set free from following the rules, that you're set free from doing what other people tell you to do, and that you're free to do your own thing, free from God's good law, and free to do what you want because, well, you're baptized. But Paul puts in front of you the reality that to live in this way, to exploit God's grace, is to continue living under the rule and reign of sin. The rule and reign of sin has many different faces for us. And it can be something obvious, like purposefully ignoring the will of God in the Ten Commandments. It can be something so clear as wantingly or encouraging others to do that. But more often for us, I think, the rule and reign of sin tends to greet us with a smile and some pleasantries and some things that seem not too bad, but seem pretty good for me. The reign and rule of sin tries to tell us that we have things together, that the things that are happening are not my responsibilities, or at least they're not because of me. That they're someone else's fault. That we try to justify our own way because of this or that circumstance that seems to tell me, well, this is happening, they're doing this thing, and I can fix it, I can make it better because I've been baptized and I know these things, even though the wrong thing to do is to shut someone out, to not show love to my neighbor, or to ignore this person because this thing or that thing or something we create in our heads. To let sin rule and reign in your life begins to push away those we love and begins to see them more as merely objects, and that the things in this creation are put in place to serve me in some way. Too often you think that freedom is something like pursuing happiness and my own satisfaction, rather than living obediently to the gracious rule of the Lord. No, for you, you would rather have this freedom given by God, to be a freedom that allows me to justify my own actions, rather than live the baptism God gives me. And because the fact of the matter is that you are not free in the way you might think. You're not free to do what you want. You're not free to be who you want. Because you're always bound to someone or something. You're always dependent and responsible for something or someone, because the world does not revolve around you the way you would hope. And who you are influences the relationships in your life more than you want to realize. You're not so independent as you might think. And what you do directly impacts the people you love, because what gives your relationships life is not because you gave it the stamp of approval, but the fact that your relationships that you have are given life because there are multiple people involved. You are both involved in giving those relationships life. To be bound to sin's rule is to see those people and the creation around you as merely objects to serve you. To be bound to God's rule, those things are no longer inconveniences or nuisances. But in fact, they start to become part of God's good creation and need to be cared for appropriately. For this is the difference for you. You are baptized into Jesus Christ. And Paul mentions in our text that this baptism and this death and new life is a spiritual death and life. But we should not try to separate our spiritual life from our physical life, because just as our actions influences our relationships, our actions influences our spirit and vice versa. You have been born anew, and the death you are united to is Jesus Christ's death, his real death, that while labeled as spiritual, is as real and deep as a physical death, because it's you, all of you, who was killed so that Jesus Christ might live in you and give you new life and make you into the person you're supposed to be. God would not have it any other way. Because God does not just want your spiritual life, but the Creator wants your whole life to be united to Him. Not a part of you, but the whole thing. You belong to the Lord. And in baptism, you are created anew, and now the Lord of creation rules in your life. But not as some dictator on high or some tyrannical ruler, but you are under his gracious rule. And you are someone different. And in a moment, we'll remember what makes you different. You're baptized. Today, we remember the Lord's baptism. And maybe it strikes you like me, because if baptism is for people to be forgiven of their sins and the grace of God bestowed for salvation, why does the Son of God, why does Jesus Christ, who knew no sin and is the Son of the Father, need to be baptized? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need his sins or faults forgiven or to be given salvation, because he is the one who is bringing salvation. Even though we need those things, Jesus Christ is not baptized for those. But because baptism runs deeper than just giving those gifts, of course they're included. Because if we read from the gospel lesson, we see that baptism claims the one being baptized as being God's beloved child. In baptism, the person is brought into God's rule and reign to do what he's given to do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is baptized so that the rule and reign of God, the reality of God's truth, would be manifested in his creation. And so that God's people would be united and identified by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is baptized, well, for you. So that in baptism, you are now called God's beloved child. It's why we baptize our children, so that their identity can be wrapped up in Jesus Christ and the whole reality of God's saving work in the creation. My memory of my baptism is fond, and well, I'm glad to have the memory. But when I look back, what astonishes and brings joy to my heart is the fact that even in my dumb 5-year-old head that thought this whole event was about me, God would be working something so brilliant and beautiful to claim me as his own. You all might not remember the day you were baptized, but that's not the point. You all are baptized, and you are all brought under the gracious rule of your Creator, who has put you here with a specific purpose. Most days, those purposes, relationships, and responsibilities might seem burdensome, trite, and serve no benefit for you. But they matter to God because they're a part of His creation. Otherwise, you would not be there to take care of them or used to serve them. To remember your baptism is to trust that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought you under his gracious rule, that he is at work to restore the creation he loves, and that you have an important role to play in that new creation, in God's reality. So remember your baptism. In Christ's name, amen. We continue with singing the rest of Thy Strong Word. It's found on page 7. As you're able, please stand.
Thank you.
baptismal remembrance. I think it's, as I've been saying, it's a good time to emphasize and see these things happening in our own lives and to remember that we were baptized. And a lot of us, maybe at a young age, that we don't remember it in the same way. But I think this is a helpful way to emphasize it again and walk through it together. So we have the baptism of one here with water and just kind of ways to remember that. And as we come up for communion, there'll be a nice kind of, hopefully, picture to see in front of you. But anyway, let's begin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we have been joined into Christ's holy church. We share in the story of God's mighty acts of salvation, and we receive new birth through water and the Spirit. These are the gifts of God offered freely to all. Let us renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing in, through, and for us, and affirming our commitment to Christ's holy church. You, this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We rejoice with one another with thankful hearts that we have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. We have confessed the faith and been absolved of our sins. As we continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, bless this bond by the power of your Holy Spirit. May it remind us that we have been cleansed from sin and born again into new life, that we may remain faithful until we are united with you in the life to come.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the gift of water. Over it, your Spirit hovered at the creation of the world. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was nurtured by Mary and in his baptism was recognized as your beloved Son.
We thank you for the water of baptism. In it we are buried, sharing in Christ's death. By it we share also in Christ's resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit as your sons and daughters.
We praise you, O God, for our water stories. A flood that cleansed the earth, the sea that drowned the enemy, a river that healed leprosy. We praise you, O God, for water.
We remember the waters of Jesus, baptized in the Jordan River, calming the Sea of Galilee, drinking from Jacob's well, washing the disciples' feet. We praise you, O God, for water.
We praise you, O God, for this font, for you breathe into this water to wash away our sin and birth us each day into your peace and joy. We praise you, O God, for baptism.
O God, you are the oceans, sustaining this earth. You are the rivers, saving us from death. You are the fountain, granting us health and well-being.
Lord God, hear the prayers of your people claimed by you in the waters of baptism. There are many things we are grateful for that come from you, yet there are still many things that trouble us and cause us anxiety and stress. We lift up prayers and remembrance for those troubled by the brokenness in this world. We especially pray for those who are sick or hurting. Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flat, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Ella, Ava, Esther, Emily, and Wendy. Bring about healing in their lives according to your will. Let the flood of your love assure them of your promises. Lord, we also remember those of our baptized fellowship who are unable to gather with us, especially Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza, and Jim, and Alex. Let the remembrance of their baptisms assure them of their bond to the church and your body. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places offer thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, for at his baptism your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirming him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me." And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We sing.
Mercy on us.
Please stand. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, the heart in his peace. Amen. We sing together on page 14, Thank the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Praise Be to Christ. Please remain standing. Turn your attention to pages 16 and 17 in the back for a few announcements.